welcome to the Ageless Wonders podcast, where we explore the dynamic fusion of aging well, vitality, balanced living, and pop culture. We are your hosts, Todd Gimble and Jonye Lyon. Guys, welcome to the Ageless Wonders podcast. My name is Jonye Lyon, and I'm here with my co-host,
Todd Gimble.
Todd, how are we doing today, buddy? You all right?
I'm doing great because this morning I had a great workout with Coach Jonye, and you left me enough intact so that I can still talk this afternoon. So that's cool.
Very good. Didn't beat you up too bad this morning.
You were disappointed in the way that I dismounted from my weightlifting. So I got to work on my technique.
We really got to work on that. I'm gonna go all the way back and retract it back to the 10-pound dumbbells, and we're just gonna spend 30 minutes working on that dismount of you unloading the dumbbells from the dumbbell chest press. So for those that are like, what the heck are they talking about? So I try to get my athletes to safely put the dumbbells down from the dumbbell bench press, and one time last year, Todd was, I had explained the process to him, bring the knees up, turn the pinky towards the knees, and kind of guide your way into that upright position so that you don't drop the dumbbell straight off the sides and injure a pec or a shoulder. And I thought he had it down, and then something went wrong. He put them on his hips. He was just tired and in disarray. And the head of one of the dumbbells smashed the tip of his middle finger and actually broke it. In real time.
Ooh. I still have my splint.
That's awesome.
That's neither here nor there. We got an amazing guest today. Jonye, why don't you tell us
who the good looking guy is. My man. I'm excited for this one. So our guest today is a successful entrepreneur who is the co-founder of Think Now, which is an award-winning technology-driven cultural insights agency that helps companies and government agencies discover cultural drivers that influence consumer decisions. And so I'm very, very excited to have him here. He is a old friend of mine. We've known each other. We go back a little bit. But some of the accolades, he's been a contributor to some publications that you may have heard of, like Forbes, eMarketer, Media Post, and was also recognized as SBA's 2017 Young Entrepreneur of the Year. That one was impressive, buddy. Good stuff. I want to introduce my friend Mario Carrasco to the show today.
All right. Hopefully that's the most we talk about business. I was telling Jonye.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about getting fitness, that heart rate up. I'm sweating a little bit, my man.
I guess that's a part of business, though, too, right?
Yeah, totally. 100%. So I know when we were talking before the show, for those that don't know, we have been doused with a whole lot of rain here on the West Coast in California, and we are all in Southern California. And the first thing I asked him is how he's holding up, since he can't be out on the mountain bike hitting the trails over this last week or so. How you doing over there, man?
It's taking a toll on my mental health. I'm not going to lie. I mean, one, it's the rain, right? It's a big deal for Californians, like Southern Californians, I should say, when it rains, 1 or 2 days, but you got a week of it. It's brutal. So I ran yesterday because I couldn't get on the trails. I hate running, but I ran because I was like, I need to be outside. I need to get my heart rate up. Did a 5K. But I'm hoping the trails dry up and I can get out there this weekend.
Awesome.
You know, Mario, that's, you know, an interesting question. And maybe you can tell us a little about, as I know you're a young guy still, but as you've aged and become more busy, obviously, as an entrepreneur and running a company and, you know, give us a little evolution of what you used to do when you were younger to kind of stay fit and how that's changed and how you've adapted to it.
Yeah. I was thinking about that in preparation for this podcast. So I started working out. I was thinking about it, like my fitness journey. I think I started when I was around 15 or 16, just lifting weights, right? And I was thinking, why did I start? And you guys will probably figure out what happens around 14 or 15, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yes. You got a little excess testosterone.
Right.
You got excess testosterone. You know, so I was like, okay, let, you know, it started with like a vanity thing, right? I remember, I think I bought like, I bought a weightlifting, like a bodybuilding book. I mean, this is pre-phones, right?
Sure.
On how to lift, and just went to my local gym. I think it was like LA Fitness or something like that. I just fell in love with working out. So I worked out through high school. I didn't you know, focus on any sports early on. Like, I was just an outdoor kid, skateboarding, bike riding, played soccer, played 1 year of football. I ended up getting into volleyball, was my thing I liked. It was like, so I never really worked out for sport. It was always like, yeah, I was involved in sports and stuff, but I lifted because I liked it for a long time, all the way through college. Then, you know, when I started my career, took a little bit of break, but I had been consistent at that point for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then got back in. Actually, how I met Joinee through my wife was part of a CrossFit gym in the Valley. I had kind of fallen off on that point, but getting into CrossFit, I just completely fell in love with that. It was like, it was a great mix of community. You have like that competition. It's like working out, but gamified, you know? So, and it ended up sticking with CrossFit for a while. I really got into, this is another point where Joinee and I connected, really got into the, man, what was that? What was the football specific CrossFit program?
Oh, CrossFit Joinee? Football. I know, yeah, the John Wellborn and the Power Athlete stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Love the Power Athlete stuff, because it was like all my favorite lifts, right? Just the big three, and with a mix of CrossFit. Yep. So did CrossFit for a while. Unfortunately, I got injured, you know, and it was like this recurring injury.
What was it that you were dealing with?
And it was just, it was a lower back thing, okay, man. I mean, like that, you know, talk about aging, right? Like, it was just a lower back thing. Like, I've never been one to warm up. I honestly, like, full transparency, I still am pretty bad at it. But I would get this lower back injury, started maybe once every year, then started creeping up a couple times a year. And, you know, like, sooner rather than later, it was constant. Right. It's so chronic. Yeah, it was chronic. So took it easy on CrossFit. Always had it in my mind. One of my favorite things growing up, I loved mountain biking. Like, that was my sport for a while. My dad was one of those people that just kind of picked up hobbies. I grew up with, you know, three younger brothers, and picked up hobbies and made us just do like crazy shit, you know?
Yep.
So mountain biking, snowboarding, whatever, like before it was really big, and mountain biking was just starting to get pretty popular in the late 90s, and we picked it up, bought some old bikes, and really got into that. When I started, you know, building a family and having a company, mountain biking, I, you know, just kind of fell off by the wayside. And it was always one of those things, like, I will pick it up at one point. But when CrossFit fell away, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out and buy a bike. So I bought a crappy bike through Facebook Marketplace, picked a mountain, and said, once I could, you know, climb that mountain without putting my feet down, I'm going to give myself a nice bike.
That's awesome.
So I rode that mountain like 2-3 times a week, like 5 months. I did it, and I dropped some money on a nice bike. And I've been, it was timely because it was 2018, I think I picked it back up. So when the pandemic hit, like, it was a lifesaver, like having,
right? Yeah, something you still do. Yeah.
Yeah. All the gyms are closed. I was mountain biking. Slowly started getting into lifting again. Mm-hmm. And I think I fell on, like, the secret formula for me is like having a hobby that I'm passionate about and working out with the intent of improving that has been a game changer for me. Like, I I'm not working out just to work out anymore, to look good. Like, yeah, that's cool. But for me, like being able to climb certain sections better, being able to fall and not break any bones, like practical things like that, sure. Has been great. So that's where I'm at now. So now I'm working out, lifting like 3 to 4 times a week at home, and then mountain biking 2 to 3 times a week, weather permitting.
No, I was just going to say, I love, use the word gamifying. Coach and I talked about developing good habits, and I love, like, I don't have the discipline to do what you did and say, I'm going to buy a crappy bike, and as soon as I get up that mountain, I'm going to get a good bike. Yeah. I'm like a dopey guy who'd go buy the best bike and then give it up after a week. But you, you have that interest, and that's an entrepreneur thing. You have this discipline, like, all right, I'm not going to like invest everything into this hobby till I'm good enough at it to like warrant like rewarding myself with a good bike. And I love that.
Yeah. That's something I do all the time, right? Like now, I've been working out at home. I started working out at home when my daughter was born. I built like a full, really nice CrossFit gym in my old house. Slowly built it just like that. Like I bought a rack and I was like, okay, once I start working out this amount, I'll buy some kettlebells. And I gave myself rewards, you know?
Yeah.
And I still do that. And so I told you guys, I hurt myself. This is all, by the way, like I realize now, like writing down when I hurt myself, it was always after travel.
Was it really?
So I'd go to a conference, right? Sitting 6 hours back from New York. And the next morning, I'm like, I got to get on it. So I have shitty sleep. I wake up, do a squat, hurt myself.
Right, right. And it's safe to assume, like, based on what you said, you probably didn't warm up either before you were going in.
Didn't warm up, right? Didn't warm up. But now, I'm still working out from home. I found this new machine that's been awesome. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. Not paid by them, but I'll plug it here, called the Vitruvian.
No, I haven't seen that. What? Tell us about it.
So Vitruvian is like, you guys are probably familiar with the Tonal.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the big mirror on the wall thing. Yeah,
mirror on the wall thing, right? Big commitment. You got to nail it on the wall.
Yeah, and you're spending money on that.
Yeah, one of the contenders that I was going to get, because I was like, okay, I love lifting, but I can't do this free weight stuff anymore. So, you know, I could do resistance training. Well, I found this thing, the Tonal looks like, it literally has the footprint of like, you know, those plastic step up things in the gym.
Yep,
like,
yeah. The little square. Yeah. The rectangle. What
are those things called?
Yeah.
Step up things. Yep. Step up things.
Step up things. Yeah. I think that's that. Yeah. I think of like those 80s.
The 80s. Jazzercise class. You're hopping and skipping from left to right.
Right, with the headband. But it looks exactly like that.
Okay.
It's got two attachments on it. And so what's nice, like where it's better than the Tonal, it's totally movable. It's about 60 pounds. I think Tonal goes up to about 250 pounds of resistance. This one goes up to 400 pounds.
Wow.
And so you could do like, and there's all kinds of attachments. So you can do bench press, squat, zerch, like literally every exercise on it.
Yeah.
And it's all magnetic resistance. So you have that feeling of having a really heavy load, but it's just different than free weight and safer,
sure.
You know? And so I've been doing that for about 6 months, and it's been awesome.
Fantastic. Cool. Now, what did you do with all of your equipment in the garage, as far as the setup that you had with this?
Yeah. So it's called the Vitruvian. So I was able to flip it for a nice profit. Cause if you remember during the pandemic, there was, everybody was scrambling to buy workout equipment.
For sure.
So I was able to flip it for almost twice as when I bought it like 10 years ago.
Yeah, you had some hot commodity going on in your garage for a minute. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Because the equipment got really hard.
I kept some Olympic weights and stuff, and some of the barbells. But yeah, I got rid of like 80% of it.
That's awesome.
No, so that's why you're a successful entrepreneur. Like, I would have bought it at the height of the pandemic and then sold it for half the price.
That is about accurate, Todd. No doubt about it. Fire sale. He fire sold.
I'm on the wrong trend, man. I'm off trend.
So good. So now, with your schedule, talk to us a little bit about how you plan your day, because I know you travel a lot, you speak a lot. Obviously, yeah. You've got the kids at home, the wife at home, got to keep her happy. Tell us, take us through like a day to day on what your schedule technically looks like. Typically, looks like.
Yeah. So I'm a morning person, and I'm not one of those Mark Wahlberg, 3 a.m. you know, in the morning, but I'm a morning person in that. I like to do my workout like first thing in the morning. Like that's
what drives that's it. What like, makes everything else work.
That's what drives me. Yep. Yeah. There's no way. Like I get tired like around 3 or 4, you know, like just naturally. So going to the gym in the afternoon, no matter how much I lie to myself, if I put out my morning one, like 100% won't happen. Yep. So I have to get that done. And so I used to wake up around 4:45 and work out from 5 to 6 a.m. What's nice with the Vitruvian, it sounds like I'm plugging this thing, but like I've been able to get my workout down to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Cause you're not having to switch the weights and the barbell and the rack, right? Point. Like, yeah, I'm getting like, you know, essentially 20 exercises down into 30 minutes.
Super efficient.
And so, yeah, it's more efficient. I used to do splits, but now I'm essentially doing, total body every day.
Okay.
But with like one big lift in there, one of the big three, either back squat, deadlift, or bench.
Okay.
And then just kind of doing a total body thing. And, so now I'm waking up at what time am I waking up? 5:45. Okay. So usually down by 6:30, walk my dog. And that's my morning.
That's great. And what are your splits as far as like the lifting versus being out on the hills and climbing on the bike?
Yeah, so I work from home Thursdays. So Thursday I don't lift. So I'm able to wake up a little bit later. I get the walk in with my dog, drop the kids off at school, and then I'll ride around 8 o'clock. So Thursdays I do kind of a shorter ride. I focus more on elevation gain. So I try to get about 3,000 climbing feet.
That's awesome.
A week. So Thursdays I'll do hour and a half ride. And then, on the weekend, I'm kind of flexible with myself. I'll lift either Saturday or Sunday, depending if like kids have a baseball or softball game, right? If they have a game, I'll lift at home.
Sure.
Then the day that they don't have a game, I'll go out for a ride. I'll go out for a longer ride. But it's always in the morning. And that's also, you know, once summer hits, like if you're out on the mountain past 9,
where you
10 in the valley,
yeah,
you're getting
that part of town.
Yeah. You're getting scorched.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget it.
Oh yeah.
Forget it. I grew up not that far from where you guys live. Yeah. And so I remember those summers are just no joke.
Exactly. Like right now we forget it's freezing, but right. It gets hot
for now. Sure.
So Mario, in addition, like you're obviously a disciplined guy, which makes me laugh a little bit about the warm-up stuff, because just this morning I was complaining about having to do warm-ups and it's true. Like I would like the guy who owns the gym was looking at me. He's like, why are you sweating so much? I'm like, this is just the warm up. I'm like, this is the hardest part. But in addition to your great discipline with riding, and it sounds like you really have your schedule down, what kind of things do you do nutrition wise? And like, do you limit everything you do, or do you still, are you still able to like go out and have a few beers? Like, give me a little background on like, what are your eating habits?
Yeah. So, honestly, this is where I wouldn't say like I falter. It's just like, I'm not as disciplined as I could be. And I actually talked to Jornet about it one time. I was like, man, I'm doing all this stuff. And, you know, what do I do? And he's like, okay, tell me, you know, track what you eat for a week and then tell him. And he's like, man, like you're not eating enough calories. You're not eating enough protein. Right. So yeah, I'm not as disciplined. Like I'm very disciplined when it comes to working out and writing. I mean, I'm limiting sugars and that type of thing. I track my food, but I'm not like tracking to hit certain macros. One thing that's worked for me in terms of just kind of keeping my weight where I like it is fasting. So I typically stop eating at 5 or 6 p.m. every day. I don't eat breakfast. I know Jornet is a big proponent of breakfast, I don't eat breakfast. I can't, and I'll have my first meal around 11 or 12. So I work out fasted. I ride fasted. That's worked for me.
I was just going to say, I do something very similar with your schedule, because you are pretty much fasted outside of, you know, having your coffee and your pre-workout stuff that you like to drink on the way in. But other than that, you're not eating breakfast either.
No. And I try to cut off food at a certain hour. And Mario, what I find the same as you is that kind of allows you to kind of do what you want during the other hours.
It's not good. Exactly.
Guilty about it.
I mean, like I'm not eating, you know, I'm not eating ding dongs and Twinkies, right? Like but
anymore.
But anymore. Todd's like speak for
did
yourself.
You know, we don't make those anymore. If they made them, I'd eat them.
Saw that look too, right?
I just aged myself with that one.
Right? It's all good. That's good. It's called the Ageless Wonders for a reason.
You are not qualified. You're totally qualified.
Yeah. No, I'm not, you know, I'm not eating that kind of stuff, but, I don't drink that much alcohol. I love tequila and beer, but like, because I work out in the morning, I know I'm like, if I have even one beer, it affects my sleep and my workout's thrown out. But you know, like I won't not have a beer if there's an occasion or whatever. But yeah, I'm not that disciplined on my food, to be totally honest.
With your traveling and when you have to go and speak, and I know you've got I saw that you have an event coming up here soon. So how do you handle the travel? How do you handle your fitness when you're on the road? Like when you're traveling and you got to live out out of the suitcase and changing time zones and all that stuff. How do you go about that?
Yeah, traveling is tough for me, right? Like as Todd said, like I'm pretty disciplined and routine, and once that goes away, it's not good. Like I feel like a lot of us have a plan, like, oh, I'm gonna hit the hotel gym, this and that, but like you travel, you feel like crap, you're sleeping at a hotel. So I'll try to hit the hotel gym. Like if it's like a 2 to 3 day, I'll try to hit it once. If it's nice, I'll try to get a run in. But I give myself some grace there, you know, like, so if I get a workout in, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I do one thing that worked that I tried this last time. I was in Miami, I guess I was in Miami last month. I just fasted a little bit more because you're sitting down
right
for so long that I'm like, okay, I'm not going to snack on this conference food.
We know what,
you know what, maybe
that,
I'm gonna
man.
Skip lunch. Yeah, like I'll skip lunch today because let's be real, conference food sucks.
Oh,
so it's not a big deal to not eat it.
Yeah, they might have one little fruit platter and that's about it.
I think I skipped lunch pretty much the whole time and just had some good dinners. And so this time I was pretty good. I worked out once. For a 3 day, but Traveling sucks. I try to limit it. I try to limit travel, to be honest with you.
It's like, tough. I traveled a lot for a long time, and same stuff that you came up with. Like, after you're on a plane, you're staying in a hotel, you know, even morning people, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to the gym. The conference starts at 9. I'm going to sleep an extra half an hour because I slept like crap in this hotel. I mean, even if you're staying in beautiful hotels like I did, you're still, it's very difficult to get into your routine. And to your point, conference food or even hotel food. Like, I lived in Asia. So you go, they have these beautiful buffet breakfasts at every nice hotel, and you can basically eat a zillion calories before you even start your day. And it's hard to pass it up.
for sure. Yeah. And then, you know, So, I mean, I've been limiting travel. Thankfully, I'm lucky I don't have to travel as much anymore, maybe once a quarter. You know, we family vacations is a little bit easier there, right? Because your family's there, you sleep a little bit better. So I you know, you can get into your routine, but, traveling for work, it's
far less stress on you. When it's a family trip, it's far less stress as well.
Oh yeah. 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 So get the kids involved.
That's it.
You know, you're playing, swimming, like it's much easier.
Absolutely.
So Mario, I would say that I would gauge you as the people we've talked to and had on the show and others that we're considering, that you're kind of a great role model because of the discipline that you have. But what you're showing us too is something that we talk about, is you can't be too disciplined and too much in a routine as you get older, because life just comes at you in different directions. So you have to pick your spots, and it sounds like you've picked your spots pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I enjoy like Tony's content, right? Like, you're real about staying fit, and okay, you can't get a huge workout in, do this kettlebell for 5 to 10 minutes. Like, I think like, speaking for myself, like, I could be really hard on myself if I didn't, you know, do my workout for a week or whatever. But as I age, I'm giving myself more grace. Like, okay, it's not perfect, but I'm going to go walk the dog a little bit further than I did because I didn't sleep well or whatever. And, you know, that's just as important as being disciplined, is also giving yourself room to fail. Because if you're too hard on yourself, then you can never catch up. It's never enough. You know, it's a marathon.
It's true. And you end up taking yourself down this rabbit hole with like, okay, well, I've missed 2-3 days in a row. Why am I even trying to do this? And then, you know, you get that negative self-talk starts to linger, and it gets a little louder, right? And you know, really good points, like going to take the dog out, and that walk gets a little bit longer just so you can get some extra steps in and get a little extra time for yourself, a little quiet time for yourself. And those little things make a difference, because you can look back and be like, okay, well, at least I did X, Y, and Z. I couldn't do the main thing, but at least I did a little bit of something, and I moved the dirt today.
Yeah, and like, what I mean, that's evolving for me, right? Like, back in the day, I didn't like walking. I did not consider exercise. I'm like, that's not, you know.
Sure.
But now that I'm older, I'm like, walking is great.
Absolutely.
Like, even at a conference, if I can get out and whatever, I was in Miami, walk around the beach, like do a lap. It's not ideal, but it is working out.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I've talked about on past episodes before, is when I was still working in advertising, and you know, I was fortunate enough to have access to a gym that was literally right across the street from our building. But there were times where my schedule would literally change day of, or like 2 hours before I'm getting ready to grab the bag and go across the street to the gym, right? And I'm required to be on this conference call. And if I knew that I didn't have to speak on that conference call, I would just go power walk around the building and just have my headset in just so I can get out and move, because I just could not be under those fluorescent lights anymore. I was like, I got to get out of here for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I missed the gym, but I still felt like I got some stuff done. I still got a few thousand steps in there that I know I put in the bank, and I knew I got something accomplished that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Awesome stuff. Hey, I'm gonna I'm totally jealous of you because you're way more disciplined than me.
I just try to get him out on the skateboard. He's not far from the beach, Mario, and I just try to get him out on the skateboard every now and then.
Just go ahead, I do.
Kick push into that headwind sometimes, man. It's all good.
I tell people every day, my discipline is that I'm paying Joignier to and I have to show up. That's my discipline.
Yeah. Hey, but you were that's extremely consistent.
And it works. And I also, I think that for people like me who don't have that self-motivation ingrained, you know, if I'm going to show up, if I'm going to pay for Joignier's time and we're going to be there, you know, I'm going to put a huge effort in during that's, you know, like when he and I work out, like I'm not looking at my phone. I'm doing what I need to do. And I think what we're learning through talking to different people is everyone has different things that motivate them, but you got to find out what the thing is that motivates you, because if nothing motivates you, you're just going to be a couch potato.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. There's something, and Mario, you said something really, really, I think it was important. And I want to make sure that we circle back to that, was that you're now using your strength training to enhance your mountain biking, because mountain biking is the passion, but your overall strength and conditioning and making the adjustments to your home gym helps fuel the rise. And that is something that I think a lot of people avoid or don't think, I won't say avoid, but don't consider, is doing things that you love. Like for you, it's mountain biking. I have a really good friend. His is BMX racing, right? He still races masters now, and he's 46 years old, almost 47, like a nationally ranked 46-year-old.
That's
awesome.
And he's
been doing it since he was 14, 15 years old. So when did you decide that those two things were going to go together, knowing that you had the back injuries going on and you're like, but I love mountain biking, but I still need to, it's like, how did you piece those two things together? Like, I'm going to use this to fuel the passion for the writing.
Yeah. I mean, I think when my CrossFit journey started to wane, I was a little lost, right? I was like just kind of lifting to lift, and the John Wellborn program kept me afloat for a little bit. But I was never like a going to the gym person. And so I worked out from home. And so I think around that time I was looking for something to keep me engaged. Mm-hmm. So I started mountain biking, and I dropped lifting for a while. And I think what I realized is that I really have a passion for lifting, and not the lifting itself. Like, I like how lifting makes me feel.
Sure.
I just feel strong. Right. I feel good. I like picking up heavy shit.
Yeah.
And I miss that. Right.
Yep.
And so, I started doing my own research and realizing, okay, like pro mountain bikers are lifting
a lot. Yeah.
Whether they're mountain biking, you know. And when I think the connection for me was like that I could prevent injuries, right? Because with mountain biking, 100% you're going to fall no matter how good you are.
Yep.
There's rocks, you had a bad day, whatever. And so I was like, okay, like that's what got me back into lifting. And the research backs it up, right? Like if you look at people that have a hobby, specifically outdoors, you're significantly more likely to stick with a gym routine. Mm. And then there's all the added benefits of lifting that help you as you age, right? Stronger bone density, which helps with if you fall, you're much less likely to break a bone.
Something, yep.
Like knocking on wood. You know, I've been now starting back 7 years of mountain biking. I've fallen a ton of times. I haven't broken a bone.
Love it.
You know, I've been able to go. I mean, I've had some nasty bruises.
Sure.
But I think that's resilient enough to
dust yourself off and get back on the bike again.
Yeah, and I'm in my 40s, and so that connection for me is just like knowing that I'm passionate about lifting, but also that I have something to work towards has been huge. And, you know, thinking about other people, like it doesn't have to be as extreme as mountain biking or BMXing. Like if you're really passionate about hiking or walking, like lifting helps all of those things. If you look at any athletes doing any sport, they're doing some kind of lifting, right?
Yeah.
And so making that connection, I feel like just helps you, or having something you're passionate about outside of the gym, to me, is just a game changer for you to get into the gym, especially if you're outdoors, right? Like, we're in SoCal, you're paying a premium to live in California. Like, get outside and do something.
Absolutely.
And get in the gym just to supplement that.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're truly blessed that way. That to your point, we're hikers. I grew up cycling, and most people don't know. Like, during the, when I was growing up playing football and running track, during the off season, like I'm a huge cycling fan, like road biking.
Yeah,
and I watch to the point, like I watch the Tour de France every year, the Tour of Spain every year, Switzerland, like all that stuff. Like, I love that stuff. So during the off season, that's what I would do. I would have the bike on and have on my little skinny outfit and zipping around the city and, you know, climbing hills around here, 'cause there's plenty of them. But that was another passion for me outside of beating myself up in a weight room and being out on the football field. So yeah, I could completely relate to that.
And the cycling is a great CrossFit. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, and a lot of the Olympic speed skaters are there, and they train there, and they're all amazing bikers. In the summer, you'd see these guys who were like gold medal winners, the Haydens, like back in the day. They would be on the U.S. like tour to whatever, you know, and they had these, you know, these thighs that were like 50 inches wide, and they'd be riding these bikes, and that really like helped to set them up during the skating season to be powerful.
Sure.
Yeah, cycling's great. It's low impact.
All meshes. Yeah. You have to have, whatever your passion is, or whatever your goal is, there's a bunch of different ways you can achieve it all year round, even in places that don't have beautiful weather all year round, like here.
Yeah. It's true.
Hey, I want to, in the time we have remaining, and first of all, this has been great. I wanted to like go off on a tangent, and you and I talked a little bit about this, Mario. You have an amazing podcast called the New Mainstream Podcast, which I was just listening to. And I know your business is about, you know, marketing insights, but with an angle towards different ethnicities, et cetera. Tell me a little, you know, my real job is in the ESG, environment, social governance area, and sustainability, and education and consulting. And I was listening to some of your stuff on diversity and inclusion, and I would love to just get like in a couple minute overview of kind of what your thinking is and what you've learned from this company that you've developed and your podcast about, you know, where we're at in America and around the world with these types of issues.
Yeah. So we've been, so this is our 13th year this year, actually this month, that we've been running Think Now. And the mission has always been to help companies understand diverse consumers in the U.S. On a personal level, I believe in diversity and inclusion and believe...
Earthquake.
Yeah, we're shaking right now.
My whole house is shaking.
Yeah, us too. Yeah. Yeah.
It hit you, and then it hit me.
Yeah, it hit Todd, then it hit me, and then now it's up to Mars. So
it's still shaking a little bit.
It was probably somewhere down here.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's crazy.
Talk about SoCal. Let me look up the most SoCal
thing ever, right?
The epicenter was at Thousand Oaks, 7 miles from Thousand Oaks, 4.7, not bad.
Wow.
That was one of the biggest ones I've felt in the 5 years I've lived here, man. That was like,
no, that's, a few, that was a real one right there.
On that one. That was like a 20-second one.
Yeah, that was like a main rolling over here. Crazy.
Wow. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, back.
we digress.
Back to our regular scheduled program. Go ahead, Mario, continue.
As long as we don't fall into a big fault. Keep going.
So it's 13 years. So, you know, again, the mission being helping companies understand diverse consumers in the U.S. And the thesis for the company is simple. Like, you look at the demographic trends. Actually, if you look at it right now, 100% of the growth in the country is coming from diverse consumers. So Todd, like we were talking before, like it doesn't matter how you feel about diversity and inclusion personally, we see it as a business imperative. If companies want to grow, if companies want to be relevant in 5-10 years, they have to adjust their marketing, they have to adjust their products, their services to be inclusive of the of a multicultural demographic reality in the US. And so that's what we do. We work with companies ranging from Target, Snapchat, Honda, helping them survey consumers and giving them back insights on how they can develop better marketing campaigns, better product strategies in order for them to resonate authentically with diverse consumers.
That's awesome.
I love to hear that. And you know, it's a little bit of the tail and the dog, because the more that companies understand and develop products and market to specific groups of people, the more they need those people in their own C-suite and in their management, because those are the people who are going to understand best, you know, what works. And having, for me, like living in Asia for 14 years, you know, the way people think and look at things and the way companies are structured and the products that are out there are, you know, they're tailored to the people there, where I've, you know, I was a minority. And it was an interesting kind of flipping of this, of the script, to be that person for a number of years and then come back here. And
What part of Asia were you in?
I was in Singapore, but I was doing regional roles. So I was all over the place in Southeast Asia, in North Asia.
Singapore is amazing. It's, I mean, there's an example of a super diverse country, right? Literally people all over the world.
Yep, I'm trying to get Joanie out there next year.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It's like, Singapore is just one of the coolest cities I've ever been to. The way that they integrate technology and nature, and it's unreal.
That's what I said to him. I want to go and just kind of put eyeballs on it.
For sure, yeah. It's a cool place. Well, you know, we have to go see if our foundations of our houses have fallen in, but
go check the chimneys.
This has been, Mario, it's really been great to have you with us, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time with us today. So for any of our listeners that may want to track you down, find you, see what you're up to, both on the business and the personal end, where are the best places to kind of link up with you? Where can they track you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on across most socials. You can find me Mario, X as in X-ray, Carrasco. That's the same for LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably the best way to stay in touch with me. So find me Mario X Carrasco. You can find most of our socials as well on thinknow.com.
Okay.
Awesome. Beautiful. And we're going to put that in on our website. And I want to put a link to your podcast, because I listened to a couple of them today, and they're really interesting. You got some great people on there. And I think, you know, when you're not working out and lifting weights and stuff, people should go listen to stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. I listen to podcasts while working out. So, and audiobooks.
Mario, you're the one who actually got me into listening to audiobooks. Because I remember you were telling me that you were heavy into audiobooks a few years ago. And I was like,
it's a good hack, man.
Yeah, because I'm a reader. I like to have aesthetically turn the page and have the highlighter and put this little sticky notes and stuff on there. But that has definitely been a way to consume a lot of great information is going to the audiobook route as well.
Great. Well, thank you, Mario.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on, Mario. Sure. We appreciate you. We'll definitely catch up with you soon. And to our audience, we will see you guys shortly. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Dude, thank you, man. That was awesome.